Hello and welcome to another edition of Fire of the Best. This one is going to be about pirates. I'm briefly going to talk about the flag, the Jolly Roger, the skull and washbones. Anyway, the term Jolly Roger probably comes from the French. When a French naval vessel went into fight, it would raise a red flag, and this would mean that no quarter be given or taken, and no prisoners taken. And the flag was called the Jolly Rouge, and it was probably went to the UK and corrupted and became known as the Jolly Roger. In fact, most pirates use either the red flag or they used a black flag, which was a sign of a quarantine or sickness. But this quickly turned into a skeleton or skull and crossbones, as this was a symbol of death. And in fact, many other pirates had their own tastes in the design of a flag, and they had a skull and crossbones. In fact, if you look go onto our website, there are a large number of pirates and the flags they flew under. Not all pirates were male. In fact, there have been a number of successful female pirates, and the next pirate I'm going to talk about was one of them. Anne Bonny was born in 1702, and as a child, she moved to North America, and her father worked as a very successful attorney. A very attractive 14-year-old, a red-headed girl, but had a temper on her. By the age of 14, she had stabbed a scullery maid and had been told about her temper. But nevertheless, so time went by. And by the time the 18-year-old is still a very wild streak in her, and she started mixing with sailors. And in fact, she married a sailor when she was 18, and he was a sailor and small-time pirate. This meant that as her father completely disowned her, and she had to leave the house. There is a story about the fact that she actually went to her father's plantation and burnt it down. Anyway. She and her husband then moved to Nassau, which is a well-known sanctuary for pirates, and she started to mingle with more pirates on her travels. And it was here that she met Jack Rackham, and she left her husband and joined him on his boat. Jack Rackham was not the captain of the boat; he was second or third command of the boat. As time went by, Anne Bonny and Jack Rackham got married and lived on the boat. On board the boat, there was another woman called Anne Mary Read, and the two women became close friends and lovers. This is when the time that they started a plot, and with Jack Rackham, and they waited until the boat was in port and no one was about. They then took the boat over and sailed it away, with some help from some of the crew they chose. They then assembled a crew and started pirating. It must be said that Jack Rackham was the main captain, but Anne Bonny and Mary Read were second and third, and they made a lot of the decisions themselves. Over the next year and a half, they became very successful, and this brought them. I mean, it must be said that Mary Read and Anne Bonny weren't, when it came to boarding a boat, they were in the thick of it with everyone else. They fought like men, and very proud of that. But their success gave them a notoriety, and of course, the governor of the Caribbean wanted to put a huge bounty on their heads, and pirate hunters went out looking for them. And in fact, they were captured, or a pirate hunter found them, and they were boarded. In fact, as the battle took place on board the boats, most of the pirates gave up, but the only three pirates who didn't stop fighting were Mary and Anne and one other guy, but they were captured and put into trial. They were captured and they returned to port and put on trial. Jack Rackham was found guilty and sentenced to be hanged. Before that, Anne Bonny was allowed to see him before his execution, and she was said to him that If you had fought more like a man, then you would not be hung like a dog. Anne and Mary were also found guilty and sentenced to be hung, but both of them had mysteriously become pregnant, probably from the guards they were doing. But as a result, both of them were had their execution put on hold. At this stage, the story gets a bit vague. Mary definitely dies in prison. Anne is released from prison with her child, and she goes back to her father, where she's reunited with her father. She remarries and then lives up into her 80s. The next part I'm going to talk about, you probably will not have heard of. His name is Bartholomew Rogers, or Black Bart. He was one of the most successful pirates of the so-called Golden Age of the Golden Age of Piracy, capturing and looting more ships than Blackbeard, Edward Low, Jack Rackham, Francis Briggs put together. His success was due to the fact that he was incredibly well organised and very charismatic. Bartholomew Rogers was born in Wales in 1682 and took to the sea at a very young age, and he worked up the ladder, and he became second in command of a ship called the Princess in 1710. In 1712, on June 16th, the Princess was boarded and captured by another Welsh pirate, Howard Davis. Howard then made several of the Princess's crew join his crew. They had no choice, and Roberts did not want to join the crew, but he had no choice and became part of piracy. Bartholomew Rogers must have impressed people a lot, because 6 weeks later, Howard Davis was dead, and the crew wanted Bartholomew Rogers to become the new captain. Bartholomew Rogers took to piracy in his stride, and he had great strategy. He was very well organised, and he went to South America and started boarding and looting boats and doubling the size of the fleet of the boats under him. His stroke of luck came when he went into a port in South America, and there were 42 boats in port anchored up. And he went, got inside the port unnoticed, went to the boat, got aboard a boat, captured the captain, and ordered the captain to tell which of the boats was the most lucrative to take. And having done that, he tied him up, took him with him, and went alongside those boats, boarded and took them, and just sailed away. It's not all plain sailing for pirates. Pirates being pirates, they're not always the most trustworthy of people. And this is what Black Bart found out when he was chasing down a Portuguese ship. He was chasing a Portuguese ship, and another ship, skippered by Irishman Walter Kennedy, which had a full hold of treasure, he saw his opportunity and just turned around and sailed away. After this, Roberts then set up a series of laws for pirates, including that no pirates can be Irish, because Kennedy was Irish. But nevertheless, his success continued, and he went back to South America and started looting. But by this time, Bartholomew Rogers had come to the attention of a number of authorities, and there are a number of pirate hunters looking for him. One of them was called Charles Ogle, and in fact, Charles Ogle actually found Bartholomew Rogers doing some repairs on his boat in a bay. Charles Ogle went into the bay and made out that he was a merchant, turned around and left. Bartholomew Rogers sent out another boat to capture it. Once in the deep water, Charles Ogle turned round and a battle ensued, and the Ranger, which was Rogers' boat, was badly damaged. And then Ogle went back in to capture Bartholomew Rogers. Bartholomew Rogers had knew what was going happening by now, and he had dressed up in his finest Sunday best, ready to meet the oncoming boat. When the battle took place over 3 hours, and with Bartholomew Rogers in his Sunday best, but it did him no good, as he was killed in the battle. Of the 152 pirates which were captured, 52 were Africans and sold back into slavery, 54 were hung, 37 were given lengthy sentences, 11 proved that they were captured and had no choice of being a pirate and released. And during Bartholomew Rogers' reign, he raided and looted over 400 ships. The next pirate I'm going to talk about is probably the most well-known pirate of the so-called Golden Age of piracy. His name is Edward Teacher, or Blackbeard. Edward Teacher was born in Bristol around 1680, and like many young men of Bristol people who still know, he joined the Royal Navy, and he saw action during the Queen Anne's War, and he left the Royal Navy, and like this is when he started mixing with the Rum Bunch, because by 1716 he had joined Benjamin Harrygold's ship. Benjamin Harrygold was one of the most feared pirates of the time, but Harrygold must have seen something in Ed Teacher, because he gave him his own command, and they worked very much as a team, and they worked very, very successfully as a team. This was until Harrygold decided to retire from piracy. He wrote to the king at the time and was given a king's pardon and retired. So Ed Teach, or Blackbeard, was on his own, but this was not for long, because fate would step in. And this is when Stede Bonnet was an unlikely pirate. He was a son of a wealthy Barbados businessman. They had a large plantation, but he'd rather be look after the plantation. He wanted to be a pirate, so he gave orders to build a ship, making out to his family that he was going to be a pirate hunter. But as soon as they were out of sight of land, he raced the Jolly Roger and started pirating. The fact was that Steve Bonnet was a rubbish pirate. He knew very little about a boat, and his seamanship was rubbish. The first boat they tried to raid, in fact, they came off of worse than the boat that they were trying to raid, and they limped into the port of Nassau. And this is where Blackbeard was staying. The crew promptly abandoned Bonnet and went up to Blackbeard, begging him to take a ship, which he did. Of course, Blackbeard agreed to take the boat over, and once on the boat, he allowed Steve Bonnet to remain on the boat. And Steve Bonnet used to go on a boat reading his books and walking around in his dressing gowns, poncing around. But anyway, after this, he probably had a big strike of luck when he captured a 40-gun French boat, and he renamed her the Queen Anne's Revenge. And it's with these three boats that he started to terrorize the shipping lanes and get a reputation. In fact, Blackbeard was a very charismatic, very charming, very intelligent bloke. And when he went into port, he used to dress up as a pirate, and he used to put slow-burning fuses into his hair, into his beard, so that when people passed him and he was in a pub or something, they would see this guy and there would be snow-burning fuses crackling and burning. And this is where the legend comes from. Blackbeard's notoriety was becoming so big that by 1718, he entered the port of Charleston, and he demanded a ransom to be paid up, and they paid up. By 1718, Blackbeard was looking for a way out of pirating. He separated himself from half his fleet to avoid sharing the spoils with him. He wrote to the King of England looking for a pardon, which he was refused. Unperturbed, he went to a number of governors and asked for pardons. And with a North Carolina governor, he struck up a deal. The deal was that he could live in a small hamlet by the bay, he could carry on pirating, and he'd be unprosecuted. But every 50% of what he stole from the pirating would go to the governor. Blackbeard agreed to this. He settled in a small hamlet. He married a young local girl, and things were looking very rosy. But the local merchants were getting increasingly annoyed with the fact that they were sending their stock off by boat, and he was going out and just boarding the boats and stealing their produce. But they went to the neighbouring governor of Virginia, a governor Sportswood, who had little love for the governor of North Carolina. He agreed to hire 57 Marines, and they weren't looking to find where Blackbeard was. The Marines found him on his boat in the bay, and they boarded the boat, and a fight ensued. And Blackbeard was shot at least twice, but he continued to fight. In fact, he was fighting with the commander of the Marines, and in fact had the better of him and just about to kill him, when another Marine got behind him and slit his throat, and with the next blow, in fact, he removed his head. In fact, the commander returned back to Virginia with the head of Blackbeard strapped to the bow of his boat. That ends really his reign really came to the end of the golden age of piracy. He died 1918, and by 1925, the next part I'm going to talk about is another female pirate, and probably the most successful pirate of all time. She was born in Asia, and her name was Shang Shine. Shang Shine was born in 1775, but at the age of 26, she was working as a prostitute in Canton, and this is where she met a lot of pirates, and this is where she met Zhang Il, a successful pirate with a small fleet. And the story goes that Zhang Il was going out to sail, and he wanted his favourite prostitute, so they went to the brothel and stole Shang Shine. Anyway, over the next year they married, and they worked very much as a team, and their boats, Zhang Il had 200 float boats, but working together over the next 5 years they increased that to 1200 boats and over 50,000 pirates under their control. In 1807, Zhang Il was caught in a typhoon and drowned. And rather than step aside, the 32-year-old Shang Shine persuaded Zhang Il's second-in-command, a 21-year-old Shang Po, to support her. I wonder how. Anyway, she did support her, and she took over the entire Red Fleet. In fact, Shang Po proved to be one of her greatest supporters and a great leader of men and strategist when it came to naval conquests. Anyway, under Shang Shine, things changed a little bit. She imposed a sort of ad hoc government, and she introduced taxes, she listed farms to supply food, and she even had schools made. The piracy continued, but also she enlisted or made an army, and with this she went round looting the local towns, and very quickly not only did she control the South Sea, the China South Sea, she also controlled large amounts of China, of land around her. This came to the notice of the Chinese Emperor, and he amassed an armada to basically try and defeat and crush Shang Shine. The Chinese armada went to Canton, and Shang Shine went out to meet the armada, and she in fact easily defeated the emperor's boats, in fact capturing 63 boats. And Shang Shine was brutal with her laws, which came under her. Disobey an order and meant your head chopped off and your body thrown into the sea. Steal anything, your head chopped off and thrown into the sea. In fact, when they captured the emperor's sailors, the captured sailors was given a choice: either join Shang Mine or be nailed to the deck
and be beaten to death by your comrades who had changed sides. The emperor had another attempt at defeating Chiang Shan and failed. The emperor then enlisted the help of the Dutch, Portuguese, British boats and paid huge amounts to try and defeat her, and same result happened. The emperor changed tack again and then offered a peace treaty for her. Chiang Shan refused, but a few months later she turned up to the governor's house and started brokering the deal she wanted. She wanted amnesty for all the then 75,000 people under her control. She said that every item that they had stole that they would keep, and she wanted compensation for the men under her control so that they could get back to a normal life. And she got all of it. Shang Po, the second in command, was now her wife, his husband, and he took up, he became an admiral in the new empire's fleet. In fact, many of the pirates changed sides and just worked for the emperor as in the military. So Chiang Mai, at the age of 35, retired from piracy. She opened up a gambling house and a brothel in Canton, which she managed for the rest of her life.